Well, good morning. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Essex Church, where this, our gathered community of Kensington Unitarians, meets each Sunday morning. You are part of this community the moment you enter this space. And together, we create here a time and a place for reflection on life's issues, for celebration of life's delights, and honouring life's struggles, for contemplation of matters that we may never fully understand. Here we can connect and reconnect with ourselves, with one another, and with that which we hold to be divine, the God of our hearts and our understanding. So let's take a moment now to imagine those connections with self, with one another, with God, that our time together today may be enlivened by our connectedness. Hope, respect, and love. Three important treasures of the spiritual life. May they always be in our hearts. May we always give them generously. The light of this flame is a symbol of them too, as hope, respect, and love are the cornerstones of a free spiritual path. Each morning, we can open the chalice of our being to receive, to carry, and to give back. So welcome. Welcome to you all. I often light our chalice and explain that it's a symbol of our worldwide Unitarian and Unitarian Universalist community, lit each week in thousands of communities such as ours around the world, its simple flame representing our liberal religious faith. Here in Britain, we're one of around some 170 congregations who are joined together in a General Assembly of Unitarian and Free Christian Churches, affectionately known to some of us as the GA. And it's a pleasure for me to welcome Marion Baker, our General Assembly President for this year, to be with us today. Now, you may know the saying, if you want something doing, ask a busy woman. Well, it certainly applies to Marion. Chair of the Upper Chapel, member of the Upper Chapel congregation, chair of the Nightingale Centre in Derbyshire, and soon to join our National Executive Committee. If you want something doing and done well, then ask Marion. So thank you for being with us today, Marion, and I invite you now to bring the greetings of the GA and to introduce our first hymn.
Good morning, everyone. It's lovely to see faces I know here, and that's been a theme whenever I've been anywhere, any congregation throughout the country. So lovely to be here with Kensington Unitarians on this indifferent winter's morning weather-wise, but maybe it will improve. And it has been my pleasure in my presidential year to conduct quite a number of services in a variety of churches and chapels across the British Isles. And so thank you for inviting me here today to take part in your worship. And in fact, I'm now nearing the end of my year of office, which completes when I chair the annual meetings of our denomination in Birmingham at the end of March. And as President of the General Assembly of Unitarian and Free Christian Churches, it gives me great pleasure to bring you the greetings and good wishes for the future of your community from the General Assembly and its member congregations and affiliated societies throughout the United Kingdom and beyond, many of whom will be worshipping in their churches and chapels at this time today. So we celebrate with joy, with enthusiasm and commitment for a successful future.
Joining together as we do in the fellowship of our connectedness, calling on the divine spirit of life and love to be with us now and to bless all that we say and do together here this day. Here, together, in this building of bricks and mortar, wood and stone. Yet there is something more here that we alone bring. This place is made holy by the presence and the intention of all those who meet here. This place is a space in which people have covenanted together for the greater good of the congregation and the wider community of London and beyond. This place can give meaning to the lives of people who assemble here, and it is sacred, for it harbours hopes and fears, delights and sorrows, triumphs and failings of all those who meet here. May we, as Kensington Unitarians, long continue to serve all who seek and find a free religious faith. In the belief that each individual is free to determine what is finally good and right and true, and that freedom carries with it the responsibility for each of us, honestly, vigorously, to seek out life's deeper meanings. So let us remind ourselves that this quest is neither trivial nor inconsequential, but of primary concern if we are to live well and fully here on earth. Above all, may we be thankful not only for the precious gift of being, but even more for continuing possibilities of further becoming. And in a moment of stillness now, I invite you to direct your thoughts and prayers to a place or situation where there is need, be that close at hand or far away. May we find ways to have our love and concern be made tangible, now and always. Amen.
Some famous words of William Ellery Channing, a 19th century American Unitarian minister, taken from his sermon on spiritual freedom. I call that mind free, which jealously guards its intellectual rights and powers, which calls no man master, which does not content itself with a passive or hereditary faith, which opens itself to light whensoever it may come, which receives new truth as an angel from heaven, which, whilst consulting others, inquires still more of the oracle within itself, and uses instruction from abroad, not to supersede, but to quicken and to exalt its own energies. I call that mind free, which resists the bondage of habit, which does not mechanically repeat itself and copy the past, which does not live on in its old virtues, which does not enslave itself to precise rules, but forgets what is behind, listens for a new and higher monition of consciousness, and rejoices to put itself forth in fresh and higher exertions.
And then from the 20th century, from a minister called Philip Hewitt, from his book, An Unfettered Faith. For the Unitarian, a free mind is the first requirement in religious belief, and upon its attainment depends all further progress. Insistence upon mental freedom is undoubtedly one of the features which gave Unitarianism its greatest appeal to those who have slowly and sometimes painfully emancipated themselves from bondage to a creed enforced on them by others. But at the same time, there is a danger at the opposite extreme, which has to be avoided. It's repeatedly been shown how liberty can degenerate into license unless it is exercised with a sense of responsibility. Unitarians and liberal thinkers generally have sometimes been accused by the supporters of creedal religion of rushing headlong into just such an irresponsible license. Unitarianism is sometimes then represented as making no demands, either on the credulity or on the character of its adherents, as saying, in effect, believe what you please, do what you like. If this charge were justified, the matter would be serious indeed, because a religion which makes no demands on its adherents is worthless. It is worse than worthless, for it encourages a complacent attitude towards life and saps the vitality of those whom it infects. In adopting their beliefs, Unitarians in fact submit themselves to a very exacting process in which the paramount place is given not to their own casual inclinations, nor to the opinions of others, but rather to the claims of sincerity and truth. Words from Philip Hewitt.
Every day is a special day, and when we celebrate as a community of people who walk to worship together, we also celebrate our Unitarian faith and what it gives to the wider community in which we live. It's always good to remind ourselves of the basic tenets of our faith from time to time, and to think about what is important to each of us as individual worshippers, but also what we offer to people who may wish to join our worship. Freedom, reason, and tolerance was a mantra often heard in Unitarian services in the 1960s, and a service on this theme was one of the first I attended as a teenager. It was a blinding flash of awareness for me after recently leaving a Church of England Sunday school to be told that my conscience was free, that it was possible to explore religious teaching and writings and to establish what I believed, that one's own conscience is free. And that one's own conscience, understanding, and faith has just as much authority as anyone else's. Heady stuff, after years of schooling that had filled my head with lots of facts and figures and other people's ideas, that it was okay to develop my own ideas. Now I was told that I was free to discover what I believed in, and that I did not have to subscribe to a creed, that I did not have to recite the Church of England's catechism and believe every word of it. I could read and interpret according to my own conscience. People imagine that our Unitarian freedom of belief is that you are free to believe whatever you like. The reality is that with freedom comes responsibility. And these thoughts had been exercising my mind for some time. And I wondered if something had triggered them. Something I'd read, something I'd heard. So I went to the font of all contemporary knowledge, the internet. Not surprisingly, there I soon discovered that Eleanor Roosevelt, the First Lady of the United States from 1933 to 1945, is credited with the quote, "With freedom comes responsibility." In her autobiography, entitled "You Learn by Living, 11 Keys for a More Fulfilling Life," she said, "Freedom makes a huge requirement of every human being. With freedom comes responsibility." Eleanor Roosevelt was the first chair of the United Nations Commission on Human Rights, and she oversaw the drafting of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. This she called the International Magna Carta of all men everywhere. But she also stressed that women too should accept responsibility as citizens. Two quotes from Eleanor spoke to me when I was researching this service. The first is, I am convinced that every effort must be made in childhood to teach the young to use their own minds. For one thing is for sure, if they don't make up their minds, someone will do it for them. There are those who believe that control is the only way to get a child to be obedient. I would argue that over-reliance on controlling a child's activities limits the child's ability to learn, that emotional closeness and caring gives a child a secure base from which to test the world and its limits. Jay Griffiths, in The Riddle of the Childscape, says that will is a child's emotive force. It impels a child from within, whereas obedience compels a child from without. Those, she says, who would overrule a child's will take obedience as their watchword, as they fear disobedience and disorder and believe that if a child is not controlled, there will be chaos. But, she goes on to say, I suggest that these are false opposites. The true opposite of obedience is not disobedience, but independence. The true opposite of order is not disorder, but freedom. And the true opposite of control is not chaos, but self-control. And Linus Pauling, the American scientist and peace activist, who incidentally was the only person to have been given two unshared Nobel Prizes, one a Nobel Prize in chemistry and the other the Nobel Peace Prize, said, and I would reckon sagely, perhaps, as one of the older generation, I should preach a little sermon to you. But I do not propose to do so. I shall instead give you a word of advice about how to behave toward your elders when an old and distinguished person speaks to you. Listen to him carefully and with respect, but do not believe him. Never put your trust in anything but your own intellect. Your elder, no matter whether he has grey hair or lost his hair, no matter whether he's a Nobel laureate, may be wrong. So you must always be sceptical. Always think for yourself. The second Eleanor Roosevelt quote that spoke to me is, remember always that you not only have the right to be an individual, you have an obligation to be one. All three of these people that I've quoted imply that individuals have a responsibility to think for themselves and that this thinking for themselves should be nurtured from childhood. For me, freedom is at first a loosening word, implying unchained from fetters, set free, limitless possibility. But it could also be seen as implying a discipline. Unitarian freedom of belief could be caricatured as you can believe what you want until we add the idea that we also follow reason and conscience. Freedom of belief, I believe of necessity, has to be accompanied by reason and conscience. And in developing my own conscience-based beliefs, I quickly discovered that my inclination moved away from believing in a personified God to a belief that there is something of the divine in all people. That all creatures are important and have a place. That respect for our world and the nurture of everything in it is essential. We should always remind ourselves that a liberal faith is a demanding one. We're free not to believe what we like, but rather what we feel we simply must, in the light of humble inquiry and reflection, in the light of our knowledge and our awareness of the limitations of our knowledge. In his 2014 General Assembly Anniversary Service Address, the Reverend David Usher suggested that freedom, reason, and tolerance hardly has an impact for our times. It may not work in the 21st century as a strapline, but the values implied still hold true. In fact, the presidential medallion has the words freedom, reason, and tolerance inscribed on it. We may not be persecuted for our freedom of belief anymore or suffer civil penalties, but people finding the Unitarian faith today may still find the liberation I found when they explore the basic tenets of our faith for themselves. It could be said that we live in a time when people ask questions of the neutrality of reason. And the 19th century Unitarian novelist Elizabeth Gaskell once remarked, and perhaps with her tongue very firmly in her cheek, "I'll not listen to reason. Reason always means what someone else has got to say." Reason could be said to spread all the way from cold scientific rationality to self-justification, to advocacy for anarchy. As Unitarians, we know that none of these are what we mean by reason. I would suggest that for Unitarians, reason is considered reflection in the light of physical facts, a subtle awareness of our fellow human beings, and, importantly, a subtle awareness of ourselves. Conscience has become a slippery concept too. Obviously, we might say we have an inbuilt sense of what is right and wrong, but conscience can lead as readily to homophobia as to an enlightened view of human sexuality. And we surely mean more by tolerance than mere indifference, as reflected in that part of our contemporary strapline which says celebrating difference. Our freedom is exercised in the light of a responsibility. The responsibility to speak and to act truly in the light of our understanding what the nature of what it is to be human. In popular parlance, we might say someone is only human to explain, to condone their failure or shortcomings. Unitarians, it could be argued, imply a rather more subtle understanding of true humanity, do we not? Is to be human to be self-absorbed, self-centered, combative, power-seeking, animalistic, or is it to be considerate of others, caring, compassionate, loving? The life of faith, which is not the same thing as a set of beliefs, is for all individual explorers in the Unitarian context very demanding, requiring the exercise of a high degree of responsibility. Many people, not least young people of sensibility, will often say, "I'm spiritual, but not religious." Maybe it is enough to say that spirituality has to mean rather more than the shift of my feelings, emotions, and religion. In the Unitarian context, the understanding of true humanity is not equated with fixed systems of belief. Freedom implies integrity and awareness as well as responsibility. It implies considering the insights of all the great faiths. These faiths and their beliefs in their wayposts have been laboriously honed over centuries and millennia. It implies taking on board the way our hearts and minds can be led astray, for example, by too much focus on the wayposts themselves, the doctrines and the dogmas. It implies being mindful that there are parts of us unknown to ourselves, our unconscious and all its works. All of which surely implies a humility in the face of our heartfelt conclusions. Our Unitarian faith is always a work in progress, not static. It is the glory of our tradition that we are free and encouraged to pursue that faith. And in 2015 and beyond, as Unitarians, we are committed to nurturing faith, embracing life, celebrating difference, an ambitious religious ideal. May we be worthy of it.
May all beings be peaceful. May all beings be happy. May all beings be safe. May all beings awake in the light of their true nature. May all beings be free. And so, let us rest with peace and joy in our hearts, understanding the freedoms and the responsibilities of our lives. Amen. Go well and blessed be.